Blog Talk Radio.
Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties. Says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
Fat on a rough road, riding high.
You didn't build that.
Through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning, further from my home.
Shut up your mouth, Mr. Obama. Shut up your mouth, Mr. Obama.
Be young, like a new moon rising, fierce.
I've got a pen.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free.
I've got a pen.
I was born free.
And I've got a phone.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Like the grandest canyon, wild, like an untamed stallion. If you can't see my heart, you must be blind.
What difference at this point does it make?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
I've got a pen.
Welcome aboard the program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom regardless of that cost. We do not concern ourselves with the cost. It's our freedom, damn it! Look, freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, I apologize for my voice. Again, I don't know why, but it is. I got allergies at this time of year. I don't know. What can I do? Nothing. But I'm here. You want to be a part of the program tonight? Don't be shy. 646-716-7978. Or you can join the captain's chat room. Looks like Blog Talk Radio got it figured out. And the chat room is working fine tonight. Remember, if you do want to speak, make sure that you press the number 1. It gives me a little icon, tells me that you want to talk. Otherwise, tells me you want to listen. And listening is okay. Listening is fine. We do not have a problem with that. All right. We've got a lot to get through here tonight, and of course, I never shut up. And there's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of very evil people out there that are just desperate to take away your freedom. And there's only one way to combat that, and that's to lift our jib and get our freedom ship underway. Yeah. There we are. We're officially underway and headed out to sea. Poser mate, shift colors. All right. Now, tonight... I think about this often, and I just don't. I can't really. Well, there's so many ways I feel. That's the problem. But this administration. This has got to be, I remember when I was a kid, Carter was a joke. The whole administration was a joke. It was a failure. It was pathetic. They tried to make Reagan out to be a joke, but Reagan, he showed, world strength. I don't know. We can go on and on and on. But with this president, I mean, this is off the charts, man. This guy is, this entire administration, everybody that works for this administration, I mean, they are all off the charts. Well, tonight we have the president and the Homeland Security Secretary, this Jay Johnson. I mean, these people are, I mean, it just seems to me that there's no connection, no real connection, but with a certain group of people. If you are either with the Obama regime or group or whatever the hell you want to call them, you're either with them or you're not. I mean, this is America. We're supposed to be inclusive, at least I thought. I think for the most part, most of the people that I know anyway are. I don't know any races, so I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, maybe I do and they just didn't tell me. That's possible. That's possible. But this entire administration, I mean, they just have no connection. And it to me, it seems deliberate, and they just don't care. There's a couple examples here now of just how out of touch this administration really is. I mean, this Iranian nuke deal, first of all, again, there shouldn't be a deal. There shouldn't have even been a deal on the table. No. No, 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 no. You want to deal with us? Okay, well, you show years of, showing how peaceful you can be. Give us a reason to do business with you. Right now, there's no reason for us to do business with you. Why the hell would the United States want to do business with Iran? Doesn't make any sense to me either. But this administration, hey, that's a good idea. He's been wanting to do business with Iran since before he got elected. Of course, his top dog, his propaganda minister, Valerie Goebbels, she's Iranian. So she's got to be jumping for joy on this. Her homeboys get this one step closer to that nuclear bomb. Well, she's loving this. Oh, yeah. Look how many infidels they can kill. Look how many Jews they can kill with that bomb. Yeah. I mean, these people just simply do not get it. And if they think that diplomacy works and they're going to show the world and he's going to get another peace prize. I mean, this is just foolish to think that Iran is going to live by this treaty or this agreement, whatever the hell you want to call it. Iran's not going to. They're going to take the money that the UN, the EU, and the US gives to them. They're going to give it all to Russia in exchange for a whole bunch of uranium and other supplies and information on how to process the crap to turn it into a friggin' bomb. But don't think for one second that Putin isn't helping this. After all, he owns, 75-80% of the uranium mines in America? How in the hell did we allow that one to happen? That's what I'd like to know. How the hell did that happen? Why? Why would we allow another country to own uranium plants in this country? Hello? God almighty. I mean, for the love of God. Look, I know money is important, but my God. money's not that damn important. I mean, this is, look, we're dealing with, you know, a lot of lives here. I don't know how these people can sleep with themselves at night knowing they're doing this crap. And Mr. Obama, you had this nuke deal. And you, John Kerry, shut up. This deal that you guys put forth and finally got agreed to with Iran. Now, you're damn near out of office, Mr. Obama. You got, what, about a year left or so, year and a half, whatever. So by that time, by the time you're out, I mean, they get a bomb. They could get it a lot sooner. Oh, but they're going to have inspectors over there and people watching them. Yeah, kind of like the people that are watching those five Talibans that we, you know, released from Guantanamo Bay for a deserter, just like the president. Yes, you are a deserter, Mr. President. You are no more, no less of a deserter than Private Bergdahl. And that's right, Private Bergdahl. There's no excuse knowing. The Pentagon knew it, the Army knew it, that he deserted, and they still promoted him? And they're going to give him that back pay? That's ridiculous. No, you do not get promoted for being a deserter, period. Absolutely unacceptable. You're a deserter. And yes, you, Mr. President, are a deserter. The very moment that you found out that our embassy was on fire, our ambassador had gone missing, we were under attack, where do you go? Oh, you and Valerie Goebbels go upstairs to eat. To eat. You had to eat. You were dying. You had to eat. But you weren't dying. The people at our embassy in Libya were dying. You could have had somebody bring you a sandwich down in the situation room, which is where your post was. Your post was not to go upstairs to eat. And then for 2.5 hours, we don't know, 2 to 2.5 hours, it's blurry. Now, was he on the phone with Netanyahu? And why would he be on the phone with Netanyahu for 2 hours? Excuse me, Benny. Yeah, look. We got kind of a situation here. Yeah, you see our embassy there in Benghazi? Yeah, well, it's on fire. Our ambassador's gone missing. We're under attack. And, well, you know, I'm kind of busy. We're going to have to pick this conversation up later. That's what he should have said. That's what should have happened. But did he do that? No. No, he did not. He said, oh, okay, thank you, boys. Thanks for the information. Come on, Valerie, let's go upstairs to eat. I still want to know, what did you have for dinner that night? While our ambassador is getting raped with a cattle prod, what were you shoving down your throat? Huh? What were you stuffing your face with? While our ambassador is being raped and burnt, Tyrone Woods, Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty being burnt, blown to bits with mortar fire, and you're eating? Really? Oh, that's right. You had the dude down there in the situation room. I forgot about the dude. Ah, he'll take care of it. The dude. You remember the dude. You guys all remember him. I mean, this administration from the very beginning has just been an embarrassment. I mean, I'm embarrassed. I mean, I was embarrassed with Bill Clinton, but nothing like this. I mean, nothing like this. This is beyond. I don't understand. I don't get this country. I don't recognize it. I don't. I have no idea what country I'm living in. I'd like to know. It seems like, I mean, it just seems like one night, boom, all of a sudden you go to bed. You know things are screwed up. Things are always going to be screwed up. Welcome to life. But you wake up one morning, you're like, what the hell? Where am I? I mean, we got the same streets and the same trees and the same buildings and homes and a completely different country. The mindset is where it's at. Now, look, I'm when it comes to your own personal life, I don't give a damn. I don't care what you do in your life. I really don't care. Unless you are, you know, harming me or harming somebody else, what the hell difference does it make? What you do in your life, it's your life. You've got to make those decisions for yourself. I can't. The government can't. The cops can't. Doctors can't, lawyers can't, judges can't, your college professors can't, your mommy can't, your daddy can't, your brothers, your sisters, cousins, your neighbors, nobody, you. You're the only one who can make those decisions, but nobody wants to make those decisions for themselves. Because if they make the wrong decision, well, then they got to have, well, they got to feel guilty and feel shame. But if they just allow the government to do all their thinking for them, well, hey, I didn't make the mistake. The government told me to think this way. It's not my fault. It's the government's fault. Blame them. How the hell did we get to where we are now? Anyway, God almighty, this is one of them nights. I mean, I am just... I'm beyond fed up. I don't even know the emotion that I have with this administration. I mean, I really don't. There's got to be a new word. It's got to be a new emotion. And this guy has brought it out. Well, Obama is all out there now pounding his little girly chest to reporters out there today on how great and wonderful he is. Oh yeah, he's the savior. You know, he got this deal, even though he had nothing to do with it. He didn't draft the deal. He didn't write the deal. He wasn't in the deal. He didn't even know the deal. He still doesn't know the deal. He still never even read his Obamacare deal. He has no idea what the hell's in it. He's not affected by it. He's the king. He gets the sniffles. I mean, he's got surgeons up there. Oh, I'm telling you. EMTs. I mean, you know. What the hell difference does it make to him? He don't care. He just signed it. He doesn't give a damn. Well, he obviously doesn't give a damn about this nuclear deal. And it's not a deal. We lose, they win. That's not much of a deal. Not for nothing. But well, I mean, the White House, I mean, they're all up for, you know, they think this is such a great deal, you know, John Kerry, he's, you know, instrumental and broken leg and all, and oh boy, I tell you. Major Garrett, every once in a while his testicles drop, which is good. Every once in a while a reporter will actually report and ask the tough questions, which I applaud. You shouldn't have to. It should be normal. But here we are. Well, Major Garrett got his turn to ask the president a question today, and he wasn't exactly in a very celebratory mood, if you will. This is Major Garrett. We got three clips here. So this is the first clip. Go ahead, go.
President. As you well know, there are four Americans in Iran, three held on trumped-up charges, according to your administration, and one whereabouts unknown. Can you tell the country, sir, why you are content with all the fanfare around this deal to leave the conscience of this nation, the strength of this nation, unaccounted for in relation to these four Americans? And last week, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said under no circumstances should there be any relief for Iran in terms of ballistic missiles or conventional weapons. It is perceived that that was a last-minute capitulation in these negotiations. Many in the Pentagon feel you've left the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff hung out to dry. Could you comment?
I got to give you credit, Major, for how you craft those questions. First, the notion that I'm content as I celebrate.
Yeah, you are.
American citizens languishing in Iranian jails?
Yeah.
Major, that's
nonsense.
And you should know better.
Oh, you should know better. How dare you say that to me? I'm the king.
Nobody's content.
Yeah, you are.
Our diplomats and our teams are working diligently to try to get them out.
Working diligently trying to get them out? And you go over there and you just give Iran the recipe for a nuclear bomb? And you're really working to get these people out? You're not working to get these people out. What, are you kidding me? They're not deserters. You got nobody left in Guantanamo Bay to trade with. Come on. Did you hear him? First of all, he had to stop and think. Oh, God, I got an answer. Oh, man, I got to figure this out here. What do I say? I don't got a teleprompter. What do I do? Oh, for the love of God. And Flycatch brought up something about Iran. And it wouldn't surprise me a bit, and I've even talked about this, and I think a lot of people actually have. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if they already didn't have the bomb. They just need a little bit more uranium. If not, they've already got it. Maybe they're doing testing now. Where are they going to do their testing? Well, they're going to obviously have to do it underground. Well, I think what's going to happen, they're going to do a test. They're going to get caught. They're going to be doing a test, and they're going to screw something up. I mean, they could really do a lot of damage. It wouldn't surprise me a bit. But if they don't, and they're successful with their testing, and they do get a bomb, and they can figure out a way to put a rocket underneath it, well, nice knowing you, Israel. Yeah. Have a safe trip up to heaven. I mean, not for nothing, but they will use it. They don't care. We don't do deals with these people. This is what drives me insane. They are a country that sponsors terrorism. We don't deal with terrorists. We do not do deals with them. And Major Garrett was right. I mean, that was a legitimate question. First of all, they got our prisoners over there that have no business being prisoner number one. And yeah, you damn Skippy, we do a deal. We put them on the table there. We're not doing any. If you're going to do a deal with Iran, which I wouldn't have done a deal, but if you're going to do a deal, you damn Skippy. All four of them, they're coming back home before we even talk. Before the deal's even, we're not even going to discuss anything. They're coming home. Period. Did that happen? No. Well, we're going to find out why. Listen to these excuses. We got two clips here, and I swear to God. This one here, I mean, if you just, when I listened to it, I just about flew out of my skin. This is what, I mean, it just got me over the edge today. For whatever reason, I don't know. I know I'm getting up there in age. Maybe I'm going through male menopause. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, I mean, this just hit me tonight. I don't know what the word is. I don't know what the emotion is. But it's an emotion that covers a lot of emotions. Everything. I can't believe why our media, why our country isn't just, I mean, beyond up in arms and fed up and demand that this president and every single body that is connected with this administration go out and go out now. That's where I'm at. I don't know. We're not going to go have any more of these cockamamie committee hearings. Yeah, how about these committee hearings there, Trey Gowdy? You know I love you. And you know I support you. And you know I'll do anything for you. I would. You need help in any way in that committee hearing. I will help you. But the problem is, what are you doing? It's been almost a year here. And we've had one hearing on security. Yeah, we know. We didn't have security. We already knew that. Why is Hillary Clinton not standing before or sitting before the committee? Why hasn't the president been subpoenaed to this committee? I mean, if this is a Benghazi hearing, I want to know why my president, the very moment that he found out that our ambassador was missing, our embassy was on fire, we were under attack, I want to find out why at that very moment he goes upstairs to eat. Then 2 to 2.5 hours later, we still don't know what he was doing. He could have been on the phone with Netanyahu. We don't know. But after that point, from 2 to 2.5 hours later, after he's stuffed his fat face, smoked about a half a pack of after-dinner cigarettes, instead of him going finally down to the Situation Room, which is where he should have been immediately, he sends Valerie Goebbels down there. Let her take charge. So she gets down there, her and the dude, they get together and they come up with this cockamamie YouTube deal. What the hell? A YouTube? Blame it on a YouTube? No, blame it on the people that did it. Friggin' terrorists. Okay, I mean, we're in one of the hottest, most dangerous areas on planet Earth, and we get rid of our security and bring our ambassador there. That makes sense. Unbelievable. All right, now listen to this cut here now. Now listen to this. I mean, just this is what offends me, is when people are talking stupid, trying to tell you that you're stupid and they're smart. They try to make you feel stupid. You're not making me feel stupid because I'm not stupid. I'm onto your game. I got common sense. Did you think that you are so smart and I am so stupid makes you stupid? Now listen to this. We got two cuts here, and I never shut up, so we need to get to them. So go ahead with the second cut here now.
Now, if the question is why we did not tie the negotiations to their release, think about the logic that creates.
A lot.
Suddenly Iran realizes, you know what? Maybe we can get additional concessions out of the Americans.
What?
By holding these individuals.
Well, I swear to God. I listened to that today, and I had to listen to it several times. Did he really say that? Yes, the son of a bitch did. The logic? Yeah, it makes logic. You're damn right. Excuse me, Mr. Terrorist Organization, otherwise known as the Republic of Iran. We're not doing any goddamn deal with you until we see our hostages back home. Now that goes on the deal. Now, how does he figure? This is what I don't understand. How he can think that we're stupid enough to buy into this, that if we do those demands, like Iran, they've never held any demands? Oh, no. You don't think they have their demands? Really? They got all their demands. The United States didn't demand anything. And what did we get? Nothing. To think that if we put these lives, these Americans on the table that Iran is going to suddenly go, oh, well, we can get more concessions that way. You talk about logic. Where the hell is your logic, Mr. President? I mean, my God, you'll trade the top, the five worst men on planet Earth for a deserter. And you're going to sit here and talk to me about logic? 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 Really? Did you just use that word, logic? Logic? Logic, now you say. Logic. Really, Mr. President, logic. Logic? What logic? What are you talking about? Logic? You have no logic. Where was your logic the very moment that you found out that our embassy was on fire, our ambassador had gone missing, and we were under attack? Why did you go upstairs to eat? Where the hell is your logic in that? And then 2 to 2.5 hours later, instead of you going down to the Situation Room, you send your propaganda minister, Valerie Goebbels, down there to play with the dude. Now, where the hell is your logic in that, Mr. Obama? Please, explain yourself. Tell us that. We need to know. Where the hell is your logic in that? What the hell are you talking about? Oh, your logic? Don't talk to me about logic. Logic? No, 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 no. Do not talk to me about logic. Logic? Ah, this guy. I mean, I swear to God, today, I mean, I just, sometimes you just go, God, please, you know. Remember those commercials? I don't know if anybody's old enough to remember that, but those commercials about Calgon, take me away. The lady would, you know, in her bathtub. You know, the mom's got all the kids running around, and she just can't take it anymore, you know. Calgon, take me away. Well, that's how I feel today. Calgon, take me away. I mean, my God. I mean, I just, please, bring me back to America. Where'd she go? Why did she leave? Well, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, I could go on for hours. But one of them is we've got a lazy mind. We do have lazy minds. We don't want to be responsible. It's too easy. It's too easy to let the government do it all. It's too easy to say, well, yeah, you know, we're the little guy. They're the government. Oh, well, what can you do? Just go along with it. It's for our own good. Well, no. Your decisions, right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent, that is for your own good. Your own good is making your own decisions for you. That's what we need to bring back in this country. That's where we need to be at. That's where our focus needs to be. That's where our propaganda needs to be. Cut here. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm going to stroke out. I swear to God, it's going to happen. One of these nights, man, it's going to happen. You're going to hear nothing but a big giant explosion and then dead air. I will be blasted off into Deep Space Nine, stroked out, done, wiped out, kaput. It's going to happen one of these nights. I swear to God. I mean, this is just, I mean, I just. God Almighty. Calgon, take me away. I don't even have a bathtub. That sucks. I feel like a bubble bath right now. Big, huge, giant bottle of wine. God, I mean, I'm done. But see, I can't just give up, even though you've got that in your head. You know, me and my brothers, we've talked about this for a long time. You know, we want to live out in the hills, man. We want to move out, get the hell away from people. Pack the whole family up, man. Build a log cabin. Go out there where there's, you know, do a little farming, do a little this, do a little that. You know, I'd love to just, you know, forget about society, go be a hermit. I'm this close. But, see, you know, I mean, that's a coward way out. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to stay and fight. And it's easy to give up. It's easy to move to the hills, become a hermit. That's easy. Difficult to stay and fight. Fight for what's right. People don't want to fight. They don't want to fight. Well, it cuts into their Kim Kardashian time. I mean, come on. Kim just caught on. She gained another 5 pounds. What do you mean I got to get off the couch? Oh, man. Tebow, the son of a bitch, get your fat ass off that couch and go to work. Good God. Everything is just irritating me today. I mean, it's raining again, New York. Can we get a summer, please? Hello? We haven't seen summer yet. I don't think we broke 75, which is fine. I'm not really complaining because I really don't. I don't like to complain too much about the weather because there's not a goddamn thing in the world you can do about it. If it snows, well, you put on a thick coat. If it's hot, well, you put on your short shorts and go to the beach. Really not much you can do about it. But after a while, the rain, which I grew up in Washington State. Let me tell you something about rain. That's all it did was rain. Look, I don't mind a little rain now and then, but after a while, it gets on your last nerve. But I love the snow. Everybody in New York, I'm the only person in New York that loves the snow. They all think I'm crazy. Oh, but you got to shovel it. So I'm out there shoveling it. So what? It's beautiful. Oh, but we can't do this. Shut up. You don't like the damn snow. What do you keep? I mean, you got an opportunity. You can move out of New York. Oh, that's right. New Yorkers aren't allowed to move out of New York until they retire. And then they move to Florida. All right. How the hell did we get onto this? I mean, this is one of those nights. This is what happens. You start talking about these people. This is it. When you start talking about liberals, man, this is what happens. You just blast off, man. That's the problem with these people. That's the problem with people, period. People, that's the problem. All right, let's get this cut number three. Let's get this the hell out of the way here. This one's going to make you just as equally sick. So go ahead and go.
Makes it much more difficult for us to walk away if Iran somehow thinks that a nuclear deal is dependent in some fashion on the nuclear deal. And by the way, if we had walked away from the nuclear deal, we'd still be pushing them just as hard to get these folks out. That's why those issues are not connected. But we are working every single day to try to get them out. And
every day.
And stop until they're up and rejoined with their families.
All right. Now, we're gonna cover this. And it took me a little while to write this down. This is just... If you were hearing it, you were listening to it. You weren't listening to it. Because when he speaks, I mean, I immediately turn him off. I mean, I don't pay attention. He's talking. I'm in Margaritaville. All right? He bores me. I don't find him a good orator. Not that I've got, a lot of room to complain. I suffer from a chronic broken left-handed tongue. But at least I speak from inside. I don't speak from a friggin' teleprompter. But this was his answer. Now, I wrote this down, word for word. Now, listen to this. This gibberish is what it is. Gibberish. It doesn't make much sense at all. He's just babbling, like I do. He's already discussed the logic. Now, where's the logic in that? There's a lot of logic in it. You're an idiot. Where the hell's the logic in this friggin' deal that you just made? There's no logic in that. You really think Iran is going to... I cannot understand how somebody could be that naive. And then to have other people be that naive and follow it and go along with it. Oh yeah, I trust Iran. Oh yeah, sure. They're changing. They'll be okay. They won't build a nuclear weapon. They said they wouldn't. And you know, I mean, somebody promises. You know how that is. Yeah, I know how that is. Somebody gives you a promise, that means they're going to break it. But now listen to this now. They're talking about why these four Americans were not connected to this deal. And Obama, obviously, Valerie Goebbels didn't tell him what to say. I didn't have tell him to answer this question because they didn't know that Garrett was going to ask this question. Because if they did, Mr. Garrett would not have been able to ask that question. No, you don't ask the king questions like that. But it's not going to matter because the media is still going to give him a pass. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what he says or what he does. They're going to give him a pass. Most Americans don't even know what he said because they weren't listening. They don't care. Kim Kardashian's on. What do I care what the hell the president does? Well, this is part of his answer. He says, well, it'd be much more difficult, or it makes it much more difficult. Now, this is what I don't understand. It makes it much more difficult to walk away. What does that mean, much more difficult to walk away? You walk away, you get up and you say, no deal, you walk away. How does that, why is he saying that? He can't put these four American lives on the table for this deal because it would make it much more difficult for them to walk away. Well, isn't the point not to walk away? I mean, this is what I just don't understand what the hell this guy was saying. I don't think he did. I think he just was saying words. But you listen to it. It doesn't make any sense at all. You can go back and archive and listen to it later. Listen to it again. Makes it much more difficult to walk away if somehow Iran thinks that a nuke deal. Now listen to this. This is what he said. This is word for word. And I went over it a couple of times. And I go, did I get that right? You know, sometimes when you're writing, something on tape and you go back and forth and you're writing, and sometimes you miss a couple of words. And you go back and you read and go, what the hell? Well, I didn't miss anything. This is what he says. Makes it much more difficult to walk away, which it doesn't. But, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea why he's saying that. Makes it much more difficult to walk away if somehow Iran thinks that a nuke deal is dependent in some fashion on the nuclear deal. I mean, what the hell does that mean? I'll read it again. Besides, it makes it much more difficult to walk away if somehow Iran thinks that a nuclear deal is dependent in some fashion on the nuclear deal. A nuclear deal is dependent in some fashion on the nuclear deal. What the hell does that mean? What were you trying to say? And nobody caught him on it. I caught it. I was like, what the hell? I only heard it once. But that doesn't even make any sense to me. What are you saying? Makes it much more difficult to walk away. Which, again, the whole point is not to walk away. And why would that make it much more difficult to walk away? Because you got these four Americans? You can't walk away? I mean, how do you equate that? That's what I don't get. I don't get how you connect making it difficult to walk away from a deal by having these four Americans on the table. That doesn't even make any sense to me. I don't understand where this man's head is. I don't think he does. Somehow Iran thinks that a nuclear deal is dependent on some fashion on the nuclear deal. Well, I mean, what? I mean, you're going to sit here and make fun of George Bush mumbling and stumbling all over his tongue? Well, what the hell kind of gibberish was that? Oh, Obama, what a great orator. Yeah, great orator. Oh, and by the way, he says. Oh, and by the way, I just thought of something. Valerie told me this as we were walking in here today. Now, listen to this. I mean, this is just, I mean, again. And I you know, you may think I'm nitpicking. I'm not nitpicking. I'm trying to understand the gibberish that my president is speaking. I don't know what friggin' language this is. I don't know what my president is saying. He's not only talking to me, he's talking to the entire country. And I have no idea what the hell the man is saying. It makes it much more difficult to walk away if somehow Iran thinks that a nuclear deal is dependent in some fashion on the nuclear deal? I mean, what direction was this guy trying to go? That doesn't even make any sense. And by the way, he says, and by the way, and by the way, now listen to this. This is another, I don't understand what the hell this man is saying. If we had walked away from the nuclear deal, we'd still be pushing them just as hard to get those folks out. To get those folks out? Those folks? Really? Again, nitpicking, maybe not. Those folks? Folks out? That's why those issues are not connected? I mean, what am I supposed to make of this? If we had walked away from the nuclear deal, we'd still be pushing them just as hard to get those folks out. That's why those issues are not connected. What? What do you mean? That's why they're not connected. Because it's going to make it much more difficult to walk away if Iran thinks that the nuclear deal is dependent on the nuclear deal? Really? And if we had walked away, we'd still be pushing them just as hard to get them folks out. Them folks. Those folks, he says. And at one point he said, oh, yeah, in the interview, oh, yeah, I even met some of them. Some of them? You should have met all of them. Picks and chooses the people that he meets. I've noticed that. And speaking of that, part of his administration. But I mean, I can't believe. I mean, I have no idea. What the hell does that mean? It makes it much more difficult to walk away if Iran thinks that the nuclear deal is dependent in some fashion on the nuclear deal. I mean, I honest to God, I've read that a gazillion times. I'm still trying to figure out what the hell that means. I can't. He obviously misspoke. What he was trying to say, I mean, I can't even try to figure out what the hell he's trying to say. I mean, I'm trying to mix things around here. I mean, I have no idea. But I just find it disrespectful to get those folks. To get those folks out. Those folks. I mean, you know, you're trapped in an elevator on the second floor. You know, or you're trapped in the elevator on the ground floor or something, you know. I mean, yeah, you can say try to get those folks out. But these people are in an Iranian prison. Americans. And they're being tortured. Don't think for one second that they're not. I mean, I just find that very disrespectful. I mean, this guy has, he has no respect for the American way of life or this country or anything that this country stands for. None of the founding principles he has any respect for. Those folks, the son of a bitch says. Those folks. But we're working every single day to get them out. And we won't stop until they're out. Well, yeah, but what are you doing? Oh, you're going to have another meeting. Oh, I see. I'm sorry, but I mean, you don't negotiate with terrorists, first of all. But he's already done that several times. So why not do it again? You know, I mean, put them on the deal. You're giving Iran everything they need anyway, everything that they want. They're getting all their sanctions. Yeah, you got a couple of supervisors over there to make sure that, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, that they're, you know, up and up. But we all know, anybody with half a broken wet noodle for a brain knows Iran is this much closer to get a nuclear weapon. If not, they already have the damn thing. And yes, they will use it. And yes, Netanyahu has a damn good reason to be upset. So does the world and the EU, France, Germany, England. What the hell's the matter with you? We all know Russia, China. We expect that. Those three are buddies. They're pals. They're in the same gang. They're good friends. England, come on. Well, hopefully our Congress, which I don't have any faith in our Congress. Okay, hopefully they do the right thing. We all know the president's going to veto it. Fine, veto it. But what's really going to matter if we can get 2/3 of the House and 2/3 of the Senate and block it. That's what we need. Will we get it? I don't know. But getting back to having no clue as to what is really going on in real America. I mean, they're very selective of who that they praise. I mean, you got to be a thug and, you know, kill a cop and all that to get any kind of recognition these days. You know, you got that street cred. Well, if you're an innocent, you know, beautiful white girl walking down the, you know, the pier with her father and get all shot up from a illegal immigrant that has been deported 5 times. God knows what the hell the guy was doing. He's been arrested a gazillion times. You know he's got a problem. So, I mean, but what do? Well, you know, he gets arrested and we release him so he can go free. But he keeps coming back. Now he finally, well, he committed a crime. A big one. Murder. Personally, I think a murderer like this deserves a death penalty, but that's me. But you're in California or in San Francisco. So he's lucky to get 10 years. We can't arrest him. We can't put him on trial. He's an illegal alien. That's racist. Well, Jay Johnson, which this guy, just this is another turd. This is what happens when you put in positions. Now, look, I understand the president needs to have people in his cabinet that he trusts and he likes, blah, 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 blah. But we need to have people in these positions, especially something like Homeland Security. We need to have these people in there that, well, have a whole bunch of experience in the field, not politicians. Why have a politician in there? That doesn't even make any sense to me. It never did. And the attorney general, I still think, look, I understand the president needs to have, you know, an attorney to make sure that, you know, everything is up and up. But the attorney general, I think, should be separate. Because you're connecting two branches of government there in the power of the president. So here you've got the attorney general, and the attorney general can just say, oh, yeah, that's what this one, or, well, the last one did. Oh, yeah, that's constitutional. Sure it is. Sure. Do you want to go ahead and do that, Mr. Obama? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is constitutional, sir. Yes, sir. Sure is. Yes, sir. You can say whatever the hell you want. This lousy Supreme Court, if they even see the case. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on with the Supreme Court, man. But I mean, we need people in these positions in government that belong there. And not just there because they're a friend. And that's the only reason Jay Johnson is there. Because he's a friend. He's a campaign donor. He's a big fat lib. And he's black. Well, Jay Johnson today was asked in front of Congress by Representative Steve Chabot. I don't know this guy too much. He was asked by him if the Mr. Chabot, if the administration had called out to Kate Steinle's family. You all know who Kate Steinle is. It's a woman we've been talking about. Brutally murdered by an illegal alien who should have been in jail or back in Mexico. Jay Johnson had no idea who this woman was. No friggin' clue. Now, mind you, this is the Homeland Security Chief. He's the top dog. He is the top man in our Homeland Security, and he has no idea that one of his illegal aliens brutally murdered a young woman in front of her father as they walked down the scenic San Francisco wharf. What do you say about that, old Nance? Oh, she had something to say about it. She wants more gun control. She doesn't want crazy people getting guns, so we'll get more background checks. Well, that background check would have done no good, you idiot. This guy stole a government agent's gun, which, first of all, land management really shouldn't have a gun anyway. Should have a clipboard. But that's me. And if you do have a gun, why the hell is it in your car? And how did this guy know that where the gun was? So it seems like somebody was irresponsible somewhere. Whatever. Doesn't matter. The point is, Nancy Pelosi, you're an idiot, and more background checks would have not prevented this crime. And none of those are, I'm sorry, gun permits do not prevent gun crime, period. If you think they do, that's just your idiocy talking. And I don't want to hear it, because they don't. But this guy has no idea who she is. I mean, how? The administration hasn't sent anybody. They're not going to send anybody. This woman's white. And she wasn't a thug. She wasn't a cop killer. She didn't have a rap album. She wasn't in a gang. She didn't start a riot. Well, this is our Homeland Security Chief here now. This is him trying to fumble his way through another committee hearing.
Let me switch gears. Has the administration reached out to the Steinle family, to your knowledge?
To who?
To the family of the woman who was brutally murdered by this individual who had committed 7 different felonies in 4 different states, in my understanding, who'd been deported, kept coming back, and his administration reached out to that family?
I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that question, sir.
I'm sorry, I have no idea. I don't know. How do you not know? This is one of your illegal aliens, Mr. Johnson, that murdered one of our citizens. How do you not know this? Somebody should have told you this. I mean, here it is. He's the Homeland Security chief. How does he not know that there's a problem with immigration? He knows there's a problem. He's helping create it. Well, when the White House was asked last week to comment on the Kate Steinle case, this Josh Earnest, which this guy just really irritates me. This guy just rubs me the wrong damn way. I don't trust him. He's a smartass. He's untrustworthy. But Josh Earnest said in a comment, this specific case could not be issued, and that reporters should refer to DHS for information. So Josh Earnest last week said, well, you can't talk to me about it. All comments, they got it. I can't talk about this specific case. It's all your questions got to go to DHS. So a week later, they go to DHS. Guess what happens? Their chief has no idea. So why would you tell this reporter to go to DHS when DHS has no idea who she is? Why would you say that? Because you didn't want to get involved in it. You're just passing the buck. You're just passing the buck. You didn't want to say that we don't give a damn about this woman because she's not a thug. She didn't kill a cop. She didn't start a riot. She didn't shoot anybody. She didn't desert. She's not a, you know, not a terrorist. Why the hell should we care? Now listen to Jay Johnson as he tries to put himself into good graces with the committee, because now he realizes, oh, wait a minute, this is somebody I probably should know. I have no idea who she is, but I probably should know who it is. So let me try to get into good graces with this committee and ingratiate myself. Listen to this.
Because I would just note that the administration has reached out in a whole range of homicide cases, criminal cases around the country, and I'm not being critical of them having done that. I think that certainly there are times when the administration should do that, but there are also times perhaps they need to do that. I don't know the answer. I strongly recommend that. Wait, could you check into that and see if they have or haven't?
Speaking for myself, I have developed a practice of reaching out to every sheriff or commissioner or chief who has had a law enforcement officer who has died in the line of duty myself. I write a letter personally.
First of all, you're missing the freaking point, jackass. Because you write a letter to... Does he think that this woman was a cop that got killed in the line of duty? I mean, I don't know. Why would he bring this up? I mean, this doesn't even make any sense. I mean, you're missing the whole point. I write a letter to all the cops that get killed in the line of duty. I write a letter to their family. I write it personally. So? What the hell does that have to do with one of your illegal aliens gunning this woman down when this guy was deported 5 times and should have either been in his own country or in jail, preferably in jail, because of your failed immigration policies? And the congressman wanted to know why this administration did not reach out to their family. And you have no idea who the hell she is. And now you're trying to say, okay, somebody I should know, but I don't know. So I better think of something quick to say. Oh, I write letters to all the cops that get to die in the line of duty. Well, that really makes the family feel good. Well, we're sorry we lost Johnny. You know, I mean, he was a good guy and all, but Damn, look at this letter we just got from Jay Johnson. Oh, man, I forgot all about Johnny. Johnny who? I don't know any stinking Johnny. I got a letter from the Homeland Security Chief. Personally. So what that you write letters? What am I so? So what? Why don't you write a letter, you know, at least? You know, letters are so kind of insensitive. You know, even phone calls. I mean, you know, get your ass on an airplane and go over there and talk to her. Say, I'm sorry, one of my illegal aliens that we let loose because San Francisco is a sanctuary city. I mean, there's a lot of people involved. It's not just Jay Johnson. It is the mayor. It is the cops. It's everybody involved. It's the citizens involved, too. The citizens are just as responsible because they're allowing this to go on. And I can't believe the sanctuary cities that are right next to me. I mean, do you think any other country is going to do that to us? Well, no. The only reason, I'm sorry, all of you immigrants coming over here, if you think you're coming over here for a better life, think again. Number one, you're brought over here to be a vote, not a citizen. And if you've got small children and you're a single mama, guess what? We're going to take the children. We're going to put them in our foster care system and get more money from the taxpayers. Then we're going to adopt them out to a foreign country. And we're going to send your ass back to the country you came from. That's what's going on. Those that do stay here are for votes. If they got children, boy, look at all the money they're going to make. They're making money off of these people. And now we got reports. I seen a report today that Planned Parenthood got caught in a video talking about selling aborted baby parts. I swear to God. Where the hell this country ended up? I don't know. How we got here? I don't know. I feel like I woke up in a completely different, upside-down, topsy-turvy, just bizarro world. Maybe it's always been this way, and I never noticed it because I didn't have my eyes as open as I thought that they were. Well, my eyes are open now. I can tell you that. My eyes are open, open wide, and I see every damn thing. And I'm tired of it. I'm done with it, for God's sakes. All right, now I need a shot of grog here. I mean, this is just, God help me. I mean, this administration is embarrassing. I mean, why are they allowed getting away with it? Why is the American people not up in arms? I mean, I know there are some people, but it doesn't seem to be enough. And this is what I'd like to know. Why? Why are we accepting this? I don't accept it. And I'm not going to go along with it. I'm not going to comply. And I shouldn't have to. None of us should comply with this. But look, this war ain't going to get over until we all step up to the plate here. Start swinging the friggin' bat. Well, continuing with the absurdity that has infiltrated this country as of late. Yeah. The NAACP now is calling for the removal of the Confederate generals from Stone Mountain. Uh, Why not just remove the word Confederate from the friggin' dictionary? I'm surprised they haven't done that. Oh, my God, I just gave them an idea. Now they're going to do it. If that happens, I swear to God, I'm going to lose it. If they try to take the word Confederate out of the dictionary, I'm going to lose it. It wouldn't surprise me. These people would go to that level. They would go to that level. These are the kinds of people that we have in our society. And we call ourselves civilized and intelligent? Really? The Atlanta chapter of the NAACP officially called for the elimination of all symbols of the Confederacy from Stone Mountain. This comes on the heels of the removal of the Confederate battle flag from the South Carolina State House. Nikki Haley, you created a firestorm, girl. You screwed up. I used to have a lot of faith in you, a lot of trust in you. And I really liked her, man. I mean, I did. I thought the woman, you know, you've seen a lot of interviews, you know, she was on at talk shows and she, you know, what she talked about and you were, you know, you could get behind her, you could support her, and she's a pretty woman. So, I mean, she's easy to look at. You're not looking at a, you know, a Sasquatch. You know, where you got to turn your head and just listen to it. But I'm sorry, Nikki Haley. I don't know what the hell happened to you, girl, but you're doing this for the wrong reasons. This is the problem that I have. All of this hysteria is for the wrong reasons. They're not for the right reasons. This is why I don't buy this as genuine. This is now they're just ganging up. That's all this is. Just out there to gang up, and of course the politicians are jumping on the ganging up bandwagon so they can get more votes. Gotta get them votes. Get them votes. Get them votes. Votes, votes, votes. Get your votes here. Step right up, get your votes here. All you got to do is lie, cheat, and steal. Get your votes here. NAACP's Richard Rose says the time to move is now, but admits maybe a steep slope to climb. Channel 2's Bernd Peterson talked with Yolanda Shackelford, who was chaperoning a group of children from Cobb County on a trip to Stone Mountain. Mrs. Shackelford said, "When I'm out here, and I have to be honest, when I'm out here enjoying Stone Mountain, I'm thinking about what it has to offer for what I'm coming for." Right. You're coming there to enjoy it. Maybe, again, this should be a teachable moment. We should be learning who these people were and what happened in the war, the real war, what really went on. But no, we're trying to wipe it all away. I don't understand why, but here we are. We're fighting a war that's already been won and lost. The war's over. I'm sorry, guys, but the war's over. We got the Civil Rights Bill. We got, the war is over. White people are not out to get black people, I'm telling you. Look, I'm a white guy, you know, my white community. I don't know anybody who's out to put black people back into plantations. I don't know those people. So if they exist, I don't know who they are. I don't know any white person that's out to get black people in any way. Not hang you from a tree. Not do anything to you. I don't know these people. So I don't know who you are. I don't know who the hell you're talking about. And don't link me into all this crap. Because I have nothing to do with it. You're going to sit here and talk about, oh, you don't like how people look at all black people as criminals. Well, what are you doing to white people? You're labeling all of us racists. The Confederate flag is not, I'm sorry, but that flag is not, I don't see racism in the flag. I just don't. Whatever. If the people understood what actually happened, what things were really for, what they mean, and just, you know, we'd be a lot better off. Well, the Atlantic chapter of the NAACP has a much more serious point of view. They don't like the fact going out there to Stone Mountain. They're not out there to enjoy the wilderness and enjoy the scenery. They're out there to, well, create havoc. They've never even been there. Well, the organization issued a statement calling for the removal of all symbols of the Confederacy from the park. My tax dollars should not be used to commemorate slavery, Mr. Rhodes said. Well, they're not commemorating slavery, you idiot. But that's all right. I wouldn't expect an idiot to understand. Mr. Rhodes said his group wants Confederate symbols removed from all state-owned buildings, parks, and lands. Mr. Rose also told Peterson he would start with Jefferson Davis, Robert E. Lee, and Stonewall Jackson. Yeah. These guys need to go, he said. They can be sandblasted off, or somebody could carefully remove a slab of that and auction it off to the highest bidder. So here he is. If he wants to, this is beyond hypocritical here. Here he says he wants these racist symbols removed. Wants Stone Mountain, wants this rock carving, and wants it sandblasted down. Or you can remove a chunk and sell it on eBay and make a profit. Well, if it is so offensive to you, why would you want to have it? Have people make money off of this hatred. See, this is an idiot, this Mr. Rose. That's a stupid man. That's a man that doesn't understand what he's talking about because he doesn't understand the issue. He doesn't understand the conversation. But yet, here he is, running off in his mouth. Oh, he'll sell it off to the highest bidder and make a profit. Make a profit off of hate. I just, do these people think? Do they have any idea what the hell it is that they're actually so-called arguing over? They don't know. It's like Occupy Wall Street. They had no idea why people were down there. Nobody knew. They were just down there protesting what? I don't know. Wall Street? All right. Well, if you're really going to protest Wall Street, you should have started in Washington, D.C., the Capitol building where all the, you know, congressmen and senators, where they hang out. Hello? There's your Occupy Wall Street. That's where you should have been. Ms. Shackelford said she is all for a discussion as long as it's not based on emotion. We have to look at a history. We have to look at how it is affecting all the people. That's my view, she said. We are an organization of many faces, so we always want to consider our total community. Well, a spokesman for Stone Mountain Park said any removal of the Confederate flags or monuments is up to the Georgia legislature. What are we doing, America? Seriously, what the hell are we doing and why are we doing it? Do we really need to go here? Is this where we need to go? Do we need to, this is where we need to go? This is what we need to do? This is where we need to be? This is what we have to do. This is where we need to be. This is where we need to be, is right here. Fiddle farting around with friggin' Confederate flags and monuments that have been up for God knows how long. And nobody's had a problem with it. Now, all of a sudden, Nikki Haley, for whatever reason, thinks that she's trying to get a bunch more votes so she can win re-election, removes the flag and makes a big to-do, and she gets out there and hugs old Al Charlton. Which, that right there, I'm sorry, but that's a guy, no way would I hug him. I wouldn't even shake his hand. I wouldn't trust him. But Nikki Haley, I don't know what the hell you did, girl, but you drank the wrong jar of Kool-Aid. Sorry, girl, but I you're out. I'm sorry, but you're done. I can't support you anymore. And it breaks my heart, too, because I really did. I liked you. This is the problem. I'm sick and tired of praising these politicians, and they just end up getting screwed over, getting stabbed in the back. And now this homosexual marriage, which, first of all, I could care less. I mean, I don't care. Never did, never will. Everybody's fighting over this marriage. It's all for taxes. It's all for money. I mean, if marriage is, you know, a tax break and a piece of paper, well, what the hell's the point? Maybe that's why I never got married. But, I mean, it seems to me that, you know, you don't need a piece of paper that says you're married. If you want to consider yourself married, then fine, you're married. Whatever. I don't know what the answer is. I could care less. If homosexuals get married or not, I don't care. It has no bearing on my life or anybody else's life that I know. I just there's so many other things that are going wrong in this country today that really need to be discussed other than Confederate flags and homosexual marriages. That's my point. Well, now look, and again, you know that I'm not a real religious man, so I'm not a big praying man, at all. But I do respect religious rights. Why? Well, because it's in our Constitution. I don't care what people believe in. You can believe or disbelieve in anything that you want. Again, your choice to make, not mine. It's not up to me to decide what you believe and what you don't believe. That's your decision to make. You got to make that decision. Only you. But let me tell you something. There is a happy medium here. Okay, yeah, we don't need any discrimination in the world. That's fine. I think we can all go along with that. We can also go along with we have to accept certain religions who don't do certain things. Well, the Muslim religion, I'd like to see these gay people go to a mosque and say, you got to marry us. Oh, no, you can't do that. You're not Muslim. Well, wait a minute. You're discriminating against me. No, you're not a Muslim. You can't come in. Well, okay, they get protected. But now a gay couple goes up to a Christian church, says, we want to get married. They say, no, we don't do that in this church. Now that's discrimination. And now we got a freaking judge who sentenced this pastor who said, no, I'm not going to marry him. He gets a year in prison. A year in prison? Now look. Granted, we shouldn't discriminate. But the pastor should have the right to say, no, we don't do that in this church. I mean, the Muslims can say, no, you can't come in here because you're not a Muslim. Why can't the Christians say, no, you can't come in here because you're not a Christian? Oh, that's right, because it's God's house. It's not their house. But the Christian pastor should have the right to say, no, we don't do that in this church. And the gay people should have the right to, you know, I mean, the where for all, the understanding, they love that word, understanding and compassion, of knowing that, okay, if these people don't do that here, well, we can go somewhere else. And why would they want to go into a church, knowing that most churches don't do gay weddings? You can get a justice of the peace. There's plenty of people out there that will marry homosexuals. There's a bunch of them out there. You can have your wedding anywhere. You don't need to have it in a church if the church will not allow you to go in there. If the church says no, there's nothing you can do. They should not have a case. And this judge, I mean, now listen to some of the stuff this judge said here now. I mean, this guy is just I don't like judges like that. Well, look, I mean, the pastor was not discriminating against the homosexuals. He just said, look, we don't do that in this church. That's it. Well, the gay couple should have just, you know, gone somewhere else. Gone somewhere where they will do it. And accept it and move on. Well, a pastor at the, I mean, we're going overboard with this, you know, no discrimination crap. I mean, we're going completely overboard. And a lot of very innocent people are going to go down and they're going to be arrested. They're going to have their entire lives destroyed because of this nonsense. And it's ridiculous. We don't have to be there. We don't have to be here. There's no reason to be here right now. But no excuse. Well, the pastor at the Christian Practical Church in Vermont, why am I not surprised? Vermont. I mean, it's a beautiful state. It really is. But my God, the people in Vermont, they're crazy. They're out of their damn fool minds. What the hell's the matter with you people? Vermont's a mess. Connecticut's a mess. New York's a mess. Every state's a mess. All 50 friggin' states are a mess. Well, this Christian pastor has been sentenced to 1 year in federal prison after refusing to marry gay couples. Well, again, their church doesn't go along with it. Again, I'm not a religious man. I'm not taking sides here. I mean, I see a solution. The Christian pastor should have the right to practice his religion. He's not discriminating against them. He's just saying, look, we don't do those marriages here. The Muslim, you can't even get into the damn building because you're not a Muslim. And if you're a female, you're not allowed in the temple or the mosque or whatever they call it. If you're menstruating, that means you're unclean. You're not allowed in the building. So if you're menstruating, you got to stay at home. So why don't you go up to one of these mosques and see how real brave you are? You know, these people are just goading these Christians. That's all this is. And they're getting away with it. They're ganging up. They're ganging up with this cockamamie Confederate flag nonsense. They're ganging up with this gay marriage nonsense. Ganging up with gun control. Ganging up with this, ganging up with that. That's all it is. They're just ganging up. They're bullies. Well, the Christian pastor, his name is Paul Horner, had his lawyers speak to reporters. This is what he said. We are currently disputing the guilty verdict, which I hope so. I'd like to know if this was in front of a jury. And how can a jury? Well, you're dealing with Vermont. We are currently disputing the guilty verdict, and I am confident my client will be a free man here shortly. Horner was just using his best judgment according to his rights and religious freedom in this country. Well, the Myron Danis, the Honorable Myron Danis, he does not seem honorable to me. This is not an honorable man. Mr. Danis, the anus. He says, religious freedom goes both ways, Mr. Horner. It is not your place to deny individuals the same rights that everyone else has. Well, he's not denying any rights. What about his rights? I thought he had to have rights. Rights that were passed down and agreed upon in court of law, the ultimate court, the Supreme Court. Yeah? Really, Mr. Judge? Mr. Danis the Anus? Well, I got a little document here, too. It's called the United States Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land. There's your law. In the First Amendment, gives the right to practice your religion. And that's exactly what he was doing. In the Christian religion, it is against the Bible. I mean, I'm not a Bibleologist. But homosexuals are not allowed to be homosexuals. It's a big sin in the Christian religion. And they don't do homosexual marriages in the church. So you homosexuals need to understand, look, okay, it's a church, they don't do it. Let's go somewhere where they do it, and let's everybody get along. The pastor wasn't out discriminating against them and trying to hurt them and harm them. He's not a threat to them. And this judge, he goes on, it's not your decision whether or not you agree with the law, but more importantly that you follow it and enforce it. Again, Mr. Danis the Anus. How about the Constitution, which in order to be a judge, you have to take that oath to uphold and defend it, not only follow it and enforce it. How come you're not enforcing the Constitution, Mr. Danis the Anus? What the hell kind of judge are you? What the hell's the matter with you? I mean, I can't stand judges like this. This whole thing, again, it is just to get back at the right. It's all being done for the wrong reasons. None of this crap is being done for the right reasons. That's when I have a problem with it. None of this stuff is being done for the right reasons. We're not getting rid of the Confederate flag for the right reasons. We're not doing any of this stuff. Now, again, I don't care if you want to get married or not. I don't give a damn. I don't care if you're homosexual, this sexual, that sexual, whatever. I don't care. Are you an a-hole or not? That's all that really matters. At the end of the day, you're either an a-hole or you're not an a-hole. That's really what it boils down to. So I could really care less what you do. But, I mean, look. I mean, you can't go out there and instigate a problem. And that's exactly what this homosexual couple did. You know damn good and well they did. They had to have. I mean, I just... This is done deliberately, and you know it's only going to get more. More and more and more. People, they're going to do it on purpose. They're going to go to a church that knows that they're not... They're going to say no. The church is going to say no. They go get a lawyer. They go to court. Now the church has got to go to jail. The pastor's got to go to jail. Well, any judge is going to... I'm sorry, but this judge, this Danis the Anus, if they had, you know, a real governor, he'd remove the son of a bitch from the bench. But this is Vermont. I mean, Vermont. I don't know what the hell's going on in Vermont. But Vermont's out of their damn fool minds. Now they're giving light sentences for child pornography. You know, this whole notion in this country, I don't know where this came from, but we're starting to see a lot of stories and a lot of stuff about it. It's okay that, you know, all males are born to desire having sex with children. They're all born this way. No, we're not. I'm sorry, but what you're doing to a child, you're stripping away, you're taking too much away from the child by molesting them. You're taking too much away from the child, too much away. And I don't buy into this nonsense that they can be rehabilitated. I don't care if you can or you can't. You're not going to get an opportunity to be rehabilitated. The fact is that you did this crime, and it is a crime, a very heinous crime. If you don't get a second chance, sorry, you're out. But they're trying, the media is doing their damnedest to try to get the American people to go along with it's okay to be a child molester. It's okay. It's okay to have child pornography. It's okay to have sex with children. It's fine. The children like it. You're born that way. It's natural. No, the children don't like it. I'm sorry, but I got all kinds of problems with this mindset that this government, and it is coming from the government, it's coming from somebody, trying to instill into our minds and get us to think that pornography or child pornography is fine. Oh, yeah, well, child pornography, well, yeah, you know. Yeah, men are born that way. They can't help it. Nothing they can do about it. Yeah, but what about the child? Well, there's nothing you can do about that. It's only a child. They don't really know. But yeah, they do know. You don't get a second chance. You're done. You don't get rehabilitated. You don't rehabilitate. You're a child molester. You're not going to rehabilitate. And again, you shouldn't get an opportunity to rehabilitate. Nor should the Taliban 5 should have never had the ability to even be put into negotiations. They shouldn't have been alive. They should not have been alive to be traded for the deserter Bergdahl. Oh, but Obama, oh yeah, we never leave a man behind. Yeah, you do. You just did. Well, my voice is about gone. I'm going to lose it. It hurts to talk. I want to thank everybody listening. I know we had Flycatch was in here tonight. We had a couple other people in the chat room tonight. So I want to thank everybody for listening on their smartphones. I also want to thank those that download. Make sure you check out the Radio Jihad Network. They're on 7 days a week. There's always something going on there. Mondays, my good friend Vito Esposito from 6 to 8 p.m. On Tuesdays, you got my first mate, Kel Fritzy and Tim. And tonight, you had Lucha. You had all the girls. The girls come on Wednesday night. And Thursday night, you want to check out my girlfriend, Audrey Russo. She's on Real Talk, R-E-E-L. Type in Audrey Russo. You'll find her from 6 to 8 p.m., and then you tune in to me from 8 to 10 p.m. Thanks for listening, everybody. Sorry we're going to have to cut it short, but I just don't have a voice, and it's killing me to talk. So tomorrow we're going to be better. I better be better. But in any event, we will see you back here tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Goodbye, everybody.